Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, going to be here for the next 30 minutes. Today we're going to talk about the fact that God can do whatever he wants to do. That's one of the things that goes around along with being God, one of the benefits, if you will, that goes along with being God. Today, and let me tell you where this came from. And you know, there's a side issue that I want to pursue here. It has to do with free will. Let me tie this all up together. From today's Daily Mass, now today is Tuesday, July the 7th, in the responsorial from Daily Mass today, one of the verses that got my attention is Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven and does whatever he wills. Now that's the basic premise that, and I believe that's a good thing. We can rest assured that God is in charge, he is in control. He is ultimately the boss who is in control of the universe at all times. He never loses control. And, you know, I think that's an important fact for you and me to remember, especially if you're someone who, like me, may tend to get a little anxious sometimes. It's very important for us to remember that God's in charge. What may surprise me or may surprise you doesn't surprise God. He is not surprised. Because he's God. He sees everything as being in the present moment. You and me, that's not the case. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so there will be some things that happen tomorrow that will surprise me. Fair enough? I mean, that's how life works. We are not able to see into the future. We're unable to see into the future. We can only live in the present moment. We can make guesses about what might happen tomorrow, but we're not sure. We're just doing that. We're guessing. But God can see into the future. There is no future for God. It's all present, past, present, future. He sees all things at once. Therefore, he does whatever he wills. Nothing surprises him. So when we look at the world and we see a lot of craziness out there. We see a lot of drama. We see a lot of confusion, uncertainty. For God, that's not the case. So please, take some kind of comfort in that today. If something happens in your life or in the world or in the universe, God is allowing it to happen. He does not always will it. For instance, he does not will evil or sickness, but he allows that to happen. He also allows the universe, and I promise I'm not going to get too deep here, especially before we pray, but I just want to try to explain what we're going to talk about today, which means I think I need to understand it myself. God allows the universe to be governed by natural laws that he set up, such as the law of gravity. Does that mean he can work to suspend gravity if he wants? Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. He's God. But generally speaking, he doesn't do that. He follows the natural law. But you need to believe that if God is allowing, or if something's happening in your life, especially if it's an unpleasant thing, he is allowing it to happen. Why? Because he will bring a greater good out of it. So even if he allows evil to happen, he does it only so that he can bring good out of it. If he could not bring good out of it, he would not allow it to happen. And you know, that takes some training to think like that. It doesn't come naturally to us because we look at bad things. We look at suffering. We look at tragedies. And it's very hard for us to say, well, this can be good. Well, in our eyes, it's not good. But that's why we're not God. That's why we didn't design the crucifixion of Jesus. We would have done it any number of ways but that way. That's not the plan we would have come up with. But this is why God's knowledge is so much greater than our knowledge. He understands these things. So with that in mind, God allows things to happen. I got an email today and I said, I need to talk about this in response to, I sent this out in my email, my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I put this verse out there and I had a bit of a statement, a reflection that goes along with it, saying just what I just said there. If God allows it to happen, if it's happening in your life, God is allowing it to happen. So in other words, it's not taking him by surprise. He's not off doing some other God things and he somehow lets something slip through the cracks. No, he is aware of every detail of in the universe, including everything that's going on in your life, obviously. And if it's happening, He has rubber stamped it. All right, let's put it that way. He has rubber stamped it. Does not mean that he caused it, but he's allowing it to happen. So somebody wrote to me, and this is a really great question, and said, well, if that's the case, if he is in control and things can only happen according to his will, how do you account for free will, right? And that's a really good point, because I have free will. Can I mess up God's plans? Can I mess up God's plans with my free will? Well, we're going to talk about that on the program today. I'm not going to even give you the answer because I want to pray first. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to do the whole show before we ever get to the prayer. I don't want to do that because I want the Lord to be in charge of this show. I want him to be in charge of everything that I say on the air today. So let's go to our prayer now, and we will then continue and answer that question. If God's really in charge, if nothing happens except with his permission, how do you account for the fact that you and me, we have free will? We'll answer that. But right now, let's turn to our Heavenly Father and let's pray. Let's give him praise. Let's thank him. And let's ask for the help that we need so that he can clearly speak to us on the show today. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again with grateful hearts. Grateful hearts because you created us out of nothing. You created us to be in a relationship with you. We are able to speak with you whenever we want. What a wonderful opportunity that is for us. Father, we thank you for giving us the air that we breathe. We thank you for sustaining our lives by letting our hearts continue to beat. Obviously, Father, we are still alive at this point in time, so you've gotten us here. That shows that you provide for us. Thank you. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for the fact that none of our problems, no matter how severe we thought they are, none of them have killed us up until now. Praise you for that, Father. When I look out at the sky, I'm looking at the clouds right now, the beautiful blue sky, the trees. Father, that's your creation. You speak to us through all of creation. Saw some deer in the field the other day. Saw the birds earlier today. These are examples of your creation. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to get a glimpse of you through your creation. Thank you for giving us everything that you give us for enjoyment in this life. Thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, right now I ask you to pour out the Spirit on us. Give us a fresh and plentiful helping of your Spirit today so that we can be open to your message on this program. Please direct our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions, our emotions. May all that we say, think, and do give you glory. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Give me the words, Father. Give me the words on this show. Let me know what it is that you want me to speak about. I think I have an idea, but if you want to take me in a different direction, I give you full permission to do that. Please take me wherever you need to take me, Father. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right. Now I'm ready to get started. My name is Gary Zimak. This is Following the Truth. We do this program every Monday through Friday, and I'm glad you're a part of it. I really am. I want to thank you for your response to my request for additional donations. You're always coming through for me, and I really appreciate it. You know, I hate to always ask about it, but it's the only way that I can continue to do this show and keep it free of charge, as well as my email devotional that I send out every day. It's through your donations. So I thank you for your support of my work. I really do. I thank you for your prayers, too. Know that I pray for you every day as well. So by the way, the saga of the tree problem is not resolved yet. If you missed the show yesterday, I talked about the tree, I want to say tree. It's a pretty big limb that ended up on my house yesterday. We had a pretty substantial storm. I actually didn't realize how bad the storm was until I drove around and saw some damage. We were really fortunate. No windows were broken. I don't think there's any damage, but the tree limb looks like a tree, actually. It's a big, big limb. It's still leaning on my house. Now, the good news is I was able to contact a tree service today, and he's going to come over hopefully within the next hour or so. So we'll see how that turns out. That's just an example of you just never know what can happen. And if you didn't catch the show yesterday, I did make the comment that here we are in the midst of the pandemic. We have riots going on. And you start to get financial concerns because so many businesses are shut down. You start to get an idea for the threats that surround you, right? You start to think like, all right, as long as I'm covered against these things, I'm good. And then you get a storm, actually an unexpected storm, because the weather forecast was saying this isn't going to be a big storm. You get an unexpected storm and a tree limb lands on your roof. You know, I wasn't ready for that one, but that's the interesting thing about life. But now let me make a point here, and this is the point of today's show. That tree limb couldn't have landed on my house without God's permission, because he could have controlled it. He could have stopped it. And I'm really glad that he didn't decide to allow it to crash through a window, because he didn't. It's right over the window. It could have done a lot more damage. So God is in control. And I think unless we believe that, we are going to be continually freaked out by what is going on in the world and in our lives, because we're always going to feel threatened. We need to believe, and it's the truth. It's not like we need to believe something that's not true. This is the absolute truth. We need to believe that God is in control, that God is aware of everything that goes on in our lives, of every small detail. Every small detail of our lives, so that we can take comfort in the fact that he is watching out for us. He's watching out for us at all times. Okay, and that's a really important thing for us to take into consideration, the fact that God's in charge, he's in control, and that nothing happens without his permission. In other words, he's watching. And that's like when you look at that story of Jesus sleeping in the boat and the disciples are freaking out because of the storm. Jesus was fully aware of what was happening. It's not like he took a leave of absence. He was aware, but he was able to take a rest because he knew that he was in control. He's in control of your life, so there's nothing to fear. Okay, so the psalm, the verse that I was talking about that really got this whole program generated is Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven and does whatever he wills. In other words, God's the boss. You look at the world and you think like, oh man, where is the boss? What boss would allow things like this to happen? I mean, because when we look at God through our human eyes, with our human senses, that's our perception. It's a reasonable conclusion. What the heck kind of boss is this who would allow this nonsense to happen? But we have to remember that God's ways are not our ways. They're just not. And we go back to that line from Job when God spoke to Job, and he was a little rough with him, and he said, hey, Job, listen, you're so smart. Where were you when I created the world? And he goes on and on and on. And he really makes Job realize that he doesn't really know. Job really doesn't know as much as he thought he knew. And I think that's the position you and me need to be in. We need to learn. It's a hard lesson, though. We need to learn to give God the benefit of the doubt. We need to learn that he ultimately is in control. He is God, and we're not. He does what he wants. And again, as I stated at the beginning of the show, I want to make this clear. He does not will evil. He doesn't want people to do bad things. He does not will that, but he allows it to happen. And a lot of that has to do, I can't give you every reason why God does what he does, but a lot of that has to do with free will. God wants, oh, that's pretty good. I have a sip of my beverage du jour today, which is a nice cup of steaming hot black coffee. See, even though it's about 90 degrees here in South Jersey, I'm one of those people who can drink hot coffee. I love my coffee. I can drink it even if it's hot out. I drink it when it's hot, drink it when it's cold. So that's my beverage. That was really good. Where was I? I got so sidetracked by my coffee, I kind of lost my place. God does not will evil, but he wants us to have the gift of free will so that we can choose to love him, so we can choose to do good. He doesn't want a bunch of mindless robots for his creation, for his ultimate creation, which is man. He gives us the ability to make decisions. We don't have a lot of control in life, but we do have some control over our actions. And God wants it that way, because when he gives us free will, that means that I can freely love him and be in a deep relationship with him. You need that, or otherwise you can't have a deep relationship. I need to choose to be able to love God. Conversely, I can choose to rebel against him. I can choose to ignore him. I can choose to do evil. I can make those choices. And he's willing to accept it, because that's the way he wants our relationship to be a true relationship. So free will has to be a part of that. I have to give myself to him freely. God has a plan for my life. He wants me to act a certain way, but he's not going to make me do it, because then I lose my freedom. Now, that means I can do bad things. Does that mean he wills me to do bad things? No. But he allows me to do them. If I was about to commit a crime, if I was going to go into a store and steal a box of candy or something, right? Could he stop me from doing that if he wanted to? Of course he could. He could make my car break down. He could let me die or have a heart attack on the way into the store. He could make the clerk decide to close down the store temporarily and take a break. You know, he can't stop me. So he can stop crimes from happening if he chooses. And he does that sometimes. I mean, I can't say specifically, but I'm sure he does that sometimes. If he doesn't want me to do something, he can stop me. He can intervene in a way that can prevent me from doing something that would cause damage. But he also, and I don't know what the stats are, I don't know how much he does of one as opposed to the other, but the other thing he can do is he can work with whatever choice I make to bring good out of it somehow. And that's when you get into the complexity of God and the fact that he is mystery and you're not going to fully understand him. So he can bring good out of my going into the store and stealing something. He does not condone my actions. He does not will it, but he permits it. And maybe I'll come to a repentance one day because of that. You know, I can't give you all the examples of the good that he can draw out of it, but we do believe that God can always bring good out of anything that happens. And that's a reminder for us. So, even though I have free will, God has to allow me to do whatever action is that I choose to do. I can't do anything without him. You know, my legs could stop working if I'm trying to go do something that he doesn't want me to do. He can prevent my legs from working. He can let me get a flat tire. He could have a policeman in the store. Somebody just walks in to the store. And that would eliminate me committing the crime. He can stop the action if he wants to. But often, he just chooses to allow things to happen that he can use to bring good. Now, the whole coronavirus thing, great point, right? Why is he allowing it? Well, a lot of people are paying attention to him. A lot of people are being good to one another, doing kind deeds. And I'm sure we're seeing some heroes step up. Tremendous acts of heroism, people literally putting their lives on the line to save others. So there's good that's coming out of this. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for an end to it, because it is causing a great deal of damage also. But he can bring good out of it. And I think unless we accept that, we're going to be setting ourselves up for an incredibly miserable life. Unless I accept the fact that God can bring good out of every situation and that nothing happens except with his approval, you're going to set yourself up for a life of misery. God is not like us. Sometimes we try to compare him to the way we think. We try to attribute characteristics to him that are human in nature, but he's not human. You know, and you'll see this in the Bible, that it could be confusing. God gets angry. Well, God doesn't really get angry. That's a literary device used to help us understand God. God can't get angry. God is constant. He does not change. In order to get angry, we would have to lose his temper. You know, in his humanity, yes, Jesus did exhibit a righteous anger in the temple. In his humanity, using his human emotions, Jesus could allow himself to do that. But that wasn't losing control. Jesus never lost control. That was what you would call a righteous anger. He was angry about his father's house being abused. But it wasn't. I heard somebody tell me one time I was speaking in the Midwest, and somebody said, you know, Jesus wasn't even perfect because he got angry. No, Jesus was perfect. Jesus didn't commit a sin by getting angry in the temple. There is a righteous anger that's not sinful. It's a, you know, it's an anger that's, he wasn't mad because somebody did something to him and he was trying to get revenge. He was righteously, or without sinning, concerned that some abuse was taking place in the temple. That's not a loss of control. So God doesn't lose control. God is in charge. He's in the heaven, and he does whatever he wills. So you see, you should be confident. That should give you the confidence that you need to face the day without fear, knowing that God's not taking some time off on vacation. He is in control, even though the world is crazy. And you can count on him to be watching, to be responding to your prayers, maybe not as quickly as you like, maybe not in the way you like, but you can count on him responding to your prayers. Because if that wasn't the case, and I remember having this discussion. I was giving a retreat on the West Coast a couple years ago. And the point was made, I was trying to make this point then, and this is nothing new. This is a point that was made by many of the church fathers through the years. Many spiritual writers made this point that nothing happens except by God's will. And I believe that that's a version of a quote by St. Francis de Sales. I'm not positive he's the one that said it, but pretty sure that's one of the things that he said. And somebody said, well, no, I disagree with that. Just because God is almighty doesn't mean he gets involved in the nitty-gritty of our daily lives. And I thought, wow, that's a depressing thought. And that's also contrary to what Scripture says, that he has counted the hairs on my head. You know, that he knows about me, that he formed me in the womb. That kind of thinking really goes against Scripture. And if God doesn't care about the little details of my life, how am I ever going to have a personal relationship with him? You know, he does care. And it's wrong to think that God just sets the world in motion or the universe in motion and he just sits back and lets it run itself. Just because he allows the laws of nature to govern the world doesn't mean that he doesn't intervene and that he's not engaged and he's not concerned. He is concerned, and we need to believe that. So God allows things to happen in order to bring greater good out of them. And I'm talking about bad things, because we never question good things for the most part. We don't say, wow, Lord, why did you allow this to happen, this really good thing? Maybe we do sometimes. Maybe I've done that in the past. Yeah, I take that back. I have questioned and said, boy, why are you so good to me, Lord? Why are you so good to me? So let's keep that in mind. Nothing happens. Nothing happens except by God's will in life. And therefore, be confident. Be confident that you can face the world without fear, knowing ultimately that God is in control. So I hope that made you feel better. Again, that psalm is Psalm 115, verse 3. If you get a chance tomorrow morning on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio, I'm going to be talking about that again. Sunrise Morning Show, that's going to be at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. So I hope you get a chance to check that out. The idea that God is in control. So, you know, sometimes you got to turn the news off. Sometimes you just have to focus on the fact that God is in charge. God is in control. God loves you. God can handle any problem that you can ever face in life, just make sure you turn to Him with confidence, knowing that He loves you and He is in control. So I hope you can catch the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow. I want to let you know, again, I'm grateful to have you as a listener to this program. If you have any questions at all, feel free to email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. Don't forget to check out my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you're able to make a donation to keep my work going, these are challenging times. And I just got word. I see a text coming in as we speak now that the tree man's on his way. So I'm going to have to deal with the expense of getting the tree taken care of. Any donation you could send my way would be greatly appreciated. You go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can donate securely to my ministry, followingthetruth.com. I'd be very grateful for that, and I thank you. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. And since I'm going to be here, I'm going to get lonely if you don't show up, so I hope you can show up as well. Don't forget to bring your drink. Don't forget to bring your snack, because we're going to have fun. We're going to be talking about the Lord. What exactly we're talking about, I haven't been told that yet. I wait till the Holy Spirit gives me an inspiration, as He did today. He always comes through. Sometimes He waits till the last minute, but I have learned to let the Holy Spirit lead the way. And as long as I follow Him, you get the best show possible. Sound good? Remember that I'm praying for you, and please pray for me. There's been a few challenges in the past couple of days. Sometimes it's a struggle. I'm trying to meet some writing deadlines and get some projects done. Your prayers would be very much appreciated. So until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you that whatever happens to you today, even if it seems really ugly and unpleasant, God's still in control. He is allowing that to happen for a reason. Just give Him a chance, trust Him, and you'll see things are going to work out just fine. God bless you, and we will talk to you next time on Following the Truth.